Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory.
That is correct. And today, the reason I've actually chosen this topic is because there was a soccer team. I think it's Romania. Yes, Romania. That they played for the qualifiers for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know if it was at the beginning or the end of the match, they held up a banner, say, like, drawing awareness to the persecution of Christians that is happening in Nigeria, which I thought was a big statement to do in World Cup qualifiers, because you're not supposed to really bring politics into sports scene. So I thought it was really brave of the Romanian team. I don't even know if they won.
Look, it's one thing. Firstly, I was quite interested by the fact that Danny brought up this topic, you know, especially that it's linked to football. But if you look at stuff like that, it's one thing when one little, according to what the public media may consider as an insignificant person, brings it up. But if like a whole team
is
raising awareness for something as serious as this, it brings a different light to it. And it now gives whatever authorities involved little room to get an escape, because the relevant people are raising it. The moment you try to shut it down, you automatically look suspicious.
Yeah, agreed. So today, it's not a story about one specific killer or one town. It's about thousands of people across a nation where villages have been completely wiped out, churches have been burned, and families have been forced to flee.
Yeah.
Okay, we are looking at the persecution of Christians in Nigeria, which is one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a follower of Christ. Okay, so this is obviously a story about being targeted for your faith, but it also deals with politics, power, and incredibly how dangerous silence is. When you are silent about something, I've seen lots of people posting on Instagram saying you cry about Palestine, but nobody is shouting for the Christians in Nigeria that are being killed.
Exactly.
So Nigeria is a country of many contrasts. The north is mostly Muslim and the south is mostly Christian. And between them lies a piece of land called the Middle Belt, which is a mix of ethnicities, languages, and faiths. Okay. For centuries, these communities have lived side by side, but in recent decades, the balance has begun to crack a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Tensions are rising, and it's looking a little bit worse for wear. So, across states like, and I'm going to try pronounce these, Benue.
I don't know why you took on this challenge, but anyway.
I feel like Glory should read them.
No, go ahead.
No, I feel like
let's
I'll
make
just
the show interesting.
Okay, I'll say them, then Glory can read them. We can see how well I did. So, Benue, Plateau, Kaduna, and Nasarawa.
Look, I don't think you did that bad.
You can try read them.
I mean, I'm not, like, the perfect at pronouncing these stuff either. So, but look, no, I think you got both of them. I mean, not both of them, all of them. Sorry. Bad wording. Yeah, I think you got all of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
I don't speak Nigerian, so.
What if it's not even Nigerian? Like, Plateau is not a Nigerian.
What is that?
That's a French. Hey. French or English word?
It's getting worse and worse for me, guys. Anyway. So, across these states, entire Christian farming villages have been attacked by heavily armed groups. Sometimes overnight, sometimes in broad daylight.
Yeah.
Okay, which actually just shows how, like, it's pretty scary. Like, it's you're not only just fearing the night. These people could come at any point of the day.
Yeah.
24/7, you have to be on guard. According to humanitarian organizations, over 7,000 Christians were killed in the first half of 2025 alone. Okay, that's a lot of people. More than 7,800 have been abducted. So that's 14,000 people who have been affected.
Yeah.
Okay. And thousands of homes have been destroyed. So if these numbers sound a little bit like a war zone, that's because for these people, they are living in a war zone.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to, again, I apologize, Yalwata in Benue State, okay, in June 2025. Locals were preparing for a market day when gunmen arrived on motorcycles. Witnesses say they came from the hills armed with rifles. Within hours, over 100 people were dead, the church burned, and the local pastor missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, pastor just abducted.
Well, abducted, yeah. Survivors said the attackers shouted anti-Christian slurs as they torched homes. No arrests were made, and days later, charred bodies still lay in the fields.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it's a lot. A few weeks earlier, on Palm Sunday in Plateau State, another massacre happened where over 50 worshippers were killed mid-service, children among them.
Yeah.
So there's not even like sympathy here. This is full on, we don't like what you're doing and we will kill everybody who is in our path. It's like how in North Korea, a two-year-old was sentenced to life in prison for owning a Bible. A two-year-old.
Yeah.
That's wild. My question is, how did a two-year-old get the Bible? I mean, it's good he had the Bible. I want to know how that story actually takes place.
My question is, how did that even make it out?
What do you mean?
Like the news.
Oh, fair enough. North Korea is like a locked box. But I suppose there's journalists there, so... Yeah. So, who is behind this violence? So, there's a couple of groups that have been identified. There's three. The first is the Fulani Militant Herdsmen, which is an armed faction within larger ethnic groups of nomadic herders. So, nomadic herders are the ones where they don't live in one place. They just move to where it's best for season, where their cows can eat. Cows, sheep, whatever they have.
Yeah, whatever cattle.
They're in Nigeria. Okay. Then there's Boko Haram, which is a jihadist group whose name means Western education is forbidden. Imagine that's your organization's name. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Okay. And then ISWAP, which is the Islamic State's West Africa's province affiliate. Yes. So these are the people who have been identified as being the ones to go and do these massacres. Okay.
Yeah.
Each has different routes, but they often share same methods. Okay. Mm. They raid the villages, they kidnap for ransom, and they burn the churches down. So there is clearly a very distinct pattern here. It all is centered around the church.
Yeah.
However, what complicates things is that Fulani communities also suffer attacks. So it's not just the Christians. There's other groups that are also suffering attacks. And this becomes because of ideology or revenge and economics. So now that's why there's a lot of people being like, no, it's not Christian persecution. It's just overall violence. But a lot of the cases, a church or Christians are involved. Yes, there's others, but there is a large majority that it's because of the Christians.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So Christian advocacy groups argue the pattern is unmistakable. Attacks often coincide with Christian holidays, and victims are chosen because of their faith.
Yeah.
In early 2025, in the town of Kafachan, in the Kaduna state, a survivor named Grace and her family were attacked at night while they slept. And she says, and I quote her, "They asked if we were Christian. We said yes, and they shot my husband in front of me." She lost her husband and two children that day. Grace now lives in a camp for the disabled near Jos, and she teaches children to read using scraps of paper salvaged from a burned Bible. That is... First of all, I commend that woman, that is dedication. Stories like hers are common. According to International Christian Concern, hundreds and thousands of displaced Christians now live in camps without schools or consistent aid. So now the question is, where is the government in all of this?
This is exactly what I was thinking in this second.
Where is the government?
You look at all of the media push that's happening for Gaza and all of this truck. And know, nobody's saying anything.
Can I just put something out there about Gaza, right? Y'all people who've been crying for Gaza have been like, we want peace in the Middle East. President Trump organizes a peace deal. He gets the hostages returned. And then you go and protest. But you got peace.
Was people that not don't, what you people wanted? Don't know what they want.
And I saw something very interesting. Hamas publicly executed 7 Palestinians a couple of days ago. That's the same people you're crying for to own the land. Just saying.
I'm telling you now, people in this day and age are all controlled by one source and they share one brain, and that brain is TikTok and Instagram.
It is.
And,
it is.
And YouTube.
It baffles me because someone also said Lebanon, there was another country, and even Egypt, they refuse to accept Palestinian refugees because they know how evil those people are.
Yeah.
Other Muslim countries are rejecting Palestinians.
It's quite interesting.
Is there not a, like, connect the dots? I'm just saying. Last one before we go back to Nigeria. I saw there was some Palestine protesters in Ireland, and they were sitting on the street to block traffic, and some Irish man just drove through the streets. He's like, I don't care. And they all had to run away. I thought it was very funny.
Anyway, yeah.
People are getting sick of it, and I'm glad people are getting sick of it, because it means people are waking up to the truth. But let's move back to Nigeria and the government. Okay. So officials in Abuja insist that what's happening isn't religious persecution.
Definitely not.
Okay. It's insecurity. I don't even know what that means. How can killing people be insecurity? Like, please make that make sense. Okay. They argue that criminal gangs and ethnic conflicts are to blame, not ideology.
So in other words, they're trying to say that it's xenophobia.
Not xenophobia, because it's all Nigerian people killing Nigerian people.
Yeah, okay.
Xenophobia is when outsiders come in. You kill the outsiders.
Maybe so wrong. Ethnic. Yes, maybe the wrong terminology, but still, it's sort of along the lines, because maybe they're sort of afraid, like, if, say, Christians were to rule or take over, then their people...
Well, they're blaming it, you know, like, if in South Africa we had the Zulus go after the Venda people. It's like that. That's what they say.
Yeah, I get it. And it doesn't make sense, because if you look in everywhere in the world in society, out of any kind of religion that you might come across, the Christians are the most accommodating of everyone else.
So yeah, they're trying to say that this is not being killed because they're Christian. This is being killed because they are one tribe.
And it doesn't explain away. It still doesn't explain away why they haven't stopped the killings.
Exactly.
So they're just brushing it off.
So Foreign Minister Yusuf Tugga stated in March 2025 that claims of targeted Christian killings were misleading and politically motivated. Sure. But human rights observers disagree. They note that military patrols often arrive after the attacks, rarely during, and arrests are rare, convictions almost non-exist. So people are full on getting away with this. Okay, they come in, they shoot up a town, they burn it, and there's no consequence.
Like no cops, like nothing. Nobody there to stop them.
Some local officials have even been accused of ignoring intelligence warnings. Whether from corruption, fear, or sympathy, the effect is the same: impunity. So basically, even if they get a warning that a city or a village might be attacked, they do nothing. I have seen videos. It's horrifying. Women and children are running from their village. Okay, remember, this is also third world villages. It's not like a city. They are running for their lives, and you just hear gunshots. It's disturbing. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay. Internationally, the response has been uneven. The United States Commission of International Religious Freedom has urged Washington to list Nigeria again as a country of particular concern, a formal recognition of systematic persecution. So America is saying, listen, there's a problem here. So far, the State Department has hesitated, citing the complexity of Nigeria's security crisis. So they're like, but there's so much crime, like how do we differentiate? All nonsense, but anyway. Meanwhile, the European Parliament has condemned the violence, and multi-NGOs such as Open Doors, Voice of the Martyrs, and Christian Solidarity International rank Nigeria among the top 10 most dangerous countries for Christians.
And you wonder why...
Top 10's up there with North Korea and Afghanistan and Somalia. It's not fun.
You wonder why, you know, there's such a weak answer, or should I say response, to why the Nigerian government has not done anything in particular to stop these killings. And, I mean, you just do your checks. Their president is Muslim. Surprise? No surprise there.
No surprise there. So, unfortunately, however, these words have not stopped the bullets. Okay? So, to understand this crisis, we need to also just look at a bigger picture. A reason why now people are also blaming it. Maybe it's just, you know, ethnic groups and violence. And the reason they're saying this is because of this. Okay? Their grazing lands have shrunk, okay, due to drought and things like that.
Yeah.
Pushing herders south. So pushing the northern herders into the southern parts of Nigeria, which is mainly Christian. Okay? Population growth fuels competition for farmland, and weapons have flooded across the borders from Libya and Chad.
Yeah.
There is deep poverty, weak policing, and ethnic politics, which you get a perfect storm to be like, oh no, that's the problem. All of these things, this is why people are killing each other. Not because they're Christian, it's because they want land. Or we don't have good police. Do you see? It's just like excuse after excuse after excuse. Okay? The Nigerian government says that Western NGOs exaggerate the deaths for funding. The NGOs say the government hides the numbers to save face. So they kind of like, you. They both are like, no, you lying. No, you lying. No, you lying. No, you lying. This is what's happening.
So it's like my word against yours.
My word against yours. Okay, but the fact of the matter is people are being killed in masses. And what I find really interesting, and what should be another factor or a, like, you know, light bulb moment, is they always burn the churches down.
Exactly.
If it had nothing to do with that, what? You don't, like, hello? Why the pastors abducted? There's huge question marks here. Journalists can't safely access many of these villages because cell towers are also down and the roads are very unsafe.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes names of victims go unrecorded. There could be thousands of people that have been killed that nobody will ever know. That's actually very scary that we live in 2025 and this can happen. Villages can be wiped out and nobody will know. That's very scary. Okay. However, they estimate it's been about 2,000 to 10,000 deaths a year. It's a lot of people. Okay. The human cost is undeniable. In the midst of this, faith remains. In burned out churches, worship continues. Pastors rebuild with tin roofs and make handmade pews. And displaced children still sing hymns under mango trees. It truly shows you cannot shut the church down.
Yeah.
No matter how hard you try.
You really can't.
God will prevail. If it means the kids singing under a mango tree, God is still being given the glory in that.
Yeah.
A Nigerian priest once said, and I love this, they can burn our buildings, but not our belief. That is powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the world might be debating the label if it's persecution or conflict. Okay. But for, you know, the people who live there, it actually doesn't matter. They're being killed. But I do think awareness for this needs to be raised because, like I said, we scream and shout about other conflicts. But the minute it's a Christian name is added to it, it's the media is dead quiet. Dead. Yeah. Absolutely, like, won't hear anything about it, which is actually very disturbing, because it's kind of showing some lives are more important than other lives, just because of the religion that they follow. Okay, everybody was screaming for the children who were being starved in Gaza, never mind the fact that Hamas was stealing all the food and then selling on the black market back to the people, by the way, okay? And the war has ended, and I don't know if I saw a video, it said the war ended a day ago, and a guy walks into a mall and buys an iPhone 17. The war ended yesterday.
Yeah.
How's that possible? Like, if the country wasn't in full operation.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of lies going around the media. A lot. And so this needs more attention. This needs more, like, exclamation mark. There's something very much happening here. And like we said, nearly 14,000 people this year alone have been affected by what's going on in Nigeria. And it's been going on. Remember when Boko Haram kidnapped all those girls?
Yeah, I can still remember that.
A decade ago now. Now, some of those girls, we still don't know where they are. No, it's a serious thing.
It is.
They could have been trafficked. They could have been raped, sexually abused, beaten, forced to marry some 70-year-old man. It's very disturbing. And so when will we start crying justice for these Nigerian Christians? And I truly believe it's something that needs to be looked at and, like I said, raised awareness. But yeah, that is the situation currently happening in Nigeria. And the reason we chose it is, I mean, it's not necessarily a specific crime, but we thought we need to be making people aware. And ourselves raising awareness for this. And so we hope you enjoyed the show. Is there anything you would like to add? No?
No.
Nothing? Well, we thank you for listening. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.